Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We sure love you, brother. My.
Yes. And the man who introduced me with Pastor Mark, now he is serving as a pastor in Kent. And his congregation, he said there are 200 Nepalese. And I'm going to speak in his church at the end of July and teach in his school for 1 week.
Amen. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord.
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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Matthew, you better. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. If I could get an usher to bring one of the buckets up here, if you guys feel like you want to give to Nepal, you can do it while I'm preaching. You know, I was just thinking, like, if you're looking for a time to give, like, I think that's probably the time to give. So.
There's some big needs, Matthew. They need that four-wheeler still.
Yeah. Daniel's got his faith on a Bolero, which is a Jeep four-wheeler. I mean, they actually need a Jeep. Like, we just kind of, like, you know, pimp our ride with the Jeep. But, like, they actually need one in the mountains because it's bad. We got high-centered. We were one of the dirtiest cities I've ever seen in my life in southern Nepal on the border with India, and it was just the atmosphere was just polluted with smoke. People were burning trash. Like, there was one field that was about, I don't know, 3 acres in the middle of the city, and it was littered with trash, and there were cows grazing. And so we high-centered on, like, this culvert, and I was like, great. It's like, man, I really hope we're not preaching here. Pastor Daniel, you know, there's lots of needs. And as we saw, I mean, the Lord has given him an apostolic ministry. So, you know, there's some ground that is good. There's soil that is good for seed, and that's good soil. So you can really put your faith on it and say, God, this is good soil. I expect increase. Praise the Lord. So just ask the Lord. Let's just do that right now. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would show us what you want us to give personally. And that's going to be different for everybody. So, Lord, we just ask, what would you want us to give? In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. All right. So, yeah. So the kids, you're dismissed your classes. Praise the Lord. So I have an exciting message to share with you here. It's called, You've Got to Have a Vision. You know, we're talking about mom and dad came back from Jerry Seville Ministries, their president's cabinet meeting, and they talked about barrier breakers. Being around other barrier breakers makes you a barrier breaker on a new level, you know. Pastor Daniel, his vision, you know, was the 2020 vision that challenged us, you know. So the Lord put on our heart a verse in this book of Samuel, and it says that there were 400 that gathered to David. And they were in need and distress and got problems. Whatever, God will receive you. You know, the word says not many strong in the flesh are called. So if you know, if that's where you are today, wherever that is, like, God wants you. If you're weak, God wants you because he can make you a mighty man. So being around a barrier breaker like Pastor Daniel challenges us, and there's increase in our ministry as well because of that. So let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you for giving me utterance, Lord. Lord, that I would say what needs to be said. Lord, I pray that you would give us a vision, Lord. I thank you that you are giving us a vision, and you're beginning to put specifics to the vision of souls from every nation, one at a time. And Lord, it's starting to mean something completely different because it's got details. And Lord, we're so thankful for it. And Lord, don't stop. Continue to pour out. And Lord, I pray that we would become a barrier breaker ministry. Lord, all the brothers and sisters in this room would become barrier breakers. in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. All right, so first, I want to talk about success and dreams and visions. That's kind of the theme of this message. This message will change your life if you receive it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to preach. You know, I heard a man of God say, whatever the devil's beating you on, like whipping you on, like you need to preach yourself out of it. So whatever you're having problems with, you need to preach yourself out of it in your own life. So Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So there's a promise. If you meditate on the word of God, you will have good success. And of course, you have to do. You have to observe to do. There's hearing, and there's obedience and action. Okay? And then I love Psalm 1:1-3. It says, whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does. That's so cool. Whatever he does shall prosper. So let's look at that real quick. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I love how the Bible talks about whatevers and alls. Whatevers and alls. Praise the Lord. If you're not experiencing a whatever or an all, you need to stick with it until you are. Okay? So there's something here in Mark 16. You know, Jesus said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. And that's a huge part of success, is you got to get off your butt and you have to go. And when that happens, things happen. When that happens, people get saved. When that happens, miracles happen. When that happens, you prosper. You know, God hasn't, Dad was just preaching. He said, you know, these signs will follow, so believe and go. Like, you have to go in order to have signs follow you. Even when you don't know what's going to happen, you know, I told you this story just a couple weeks ago. I had the wrong day for the jazz festival in Greeley. I got to this place, and I was like, I could just turn around and drive home, fine. But I decided to just go inside and just ask them, hey, do you have a flyer? And then I ended up meeting a believing artist, and we had a great session with him with a video and stuff. So sometimes you have to just say, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to take a step and go in faith. You know, James talks about being a doer. James was the brother of Jesus. He said, don't be deceived. If you just sit here all the time, every Sunday, and listen and talk about the Bible, you're going to start thinking that you do the Bible. And that's a huge problem, because talkers aren't doers. So we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only, because then we deceive ourselves. It doesn't say that the devil deceives us or someone else deceives us. It says that we're self-deceived, that we're doers of the word. That's a really scary position to be in. Right? Okay. Let's go to Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's talking about grace. You know, when you go and do, that's in my testimony when I was in Nepal, man, the Lord put grace upon me. It was hard, but it was easy. You know, when you go and do, there's a grace upon you for hours and hours of hard driving and sleeping on dirt, you know, and preaching. Much more than you're used to, eating food you're not used to. When you go and do, here, I want to challenge you guys. For those of you who are quaking in your boots about evangelism, you need to just do it, because there'll be a grace there. And then you'll be able to say, I've done street evangelism. So all of a sudden it changes from, I'm completely scared to death of street evangelism, to like, I've done it and I can do it. So there's a grace that comes upon you when you go and do and are obedient. Okay, so let's get into the points here. I was preparing this message, and I was thinking, really, an acronym? I'm not, like, huge on acronyms. But I was like, hey, why not? Okay, vision. So I'm going to do vision as, you know, an acronym. But before that, I want to talk about Joel 2. And this was in my heart. Sometimes the Lord always puts a theme in our heart. You know, throughout our days, we're meditating on something or thinking about it. And I like to call it a theme in my heart. So a theme in my heart was Joel 2 that says, the Lord said, in the last days, the Lord would give you the young men dreams and visions. He pour out his spirit on all flesh. And the old men would dream dreams, and the young men would see visions. And I believe for supernatural visions and dreams. I've had dreams, supernatural dreams. I've had those. That, you know, usually if it's supernatural, you have no idea what it means until after something happens, sometimes. Sometimes, that's in my experience, the Lord shows me something in a dream, and I don't get it until it plays out. The situation plays out. Now, sometimes there are warning dreams, you know, like God spoke to Jesus's, you know, father, Joseph, stepfather. He said, get out of here. In a dream, an angel came in a dream, said, get out of here. Then there's from my experience, the Lord will give you a dream, and you're like, oh, that's what that meant. I had no idea until it happened. It's confirming that God's speaking to your heart. That's cool. So I'm expecting supernatural dreams. I'm expecting visions. You know, we hear stories of the Lord, Jesus, just showing up in Muslims' lives, saying, I'm Jesus, you know, and they get saved. Supernatural stuff. But this theme I had in my heart was, is a vision or a dream in the sense of like what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, is that any less important or any less powerful? It's not. Visions change countries, they change cities, they change churches, they change people's lives. So if you have a dream, you know, it will change your life, completely change the direction of your life. So the first point I have here is, number one, is vision. For vision, you need a vision. I was trying to fit a different word in there. I said, that doesn't work. I'm just going to make it obvious. You need a vision. Okay? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You're going to be happy if you have a vision, because it's going to require that you do certain things. Instead of being aimless, you're going to have to do certain things, and you're going to be happy. So if you don't have a direction, if you don't have a vision, you're going to perish. You're going to fail without a vision. You have nothing to live for without a vision. Life is no fun without a vision. How many of you know that? You know, I was around some college kids a couple weeks ago, and I was like, man, I love being around college kids. They're always talking, what's your major? What are you going to do? Hey, this is exciting. And then when you get out of college, you're like, life. Right? Right? And I love it, because it's like they're thinking about what they're going to do, what they could do, what the possibilities are. And then, you know, they don't get a job, and they're like, bleh, you know. So adults get kind of boring sometimes. So we got to have a vision, because a vision gives us excitement in life, and you're going to perish without a vision. Okay? So you have to see it in your spirit. Your heart is the garden of your life. You can, the scary thing and exciting thing is you can produce any fruit you meditate on and act on, any fruit. Okay, so let's go to Proverbs 4:23. You're asking me, you're like, what? I'm not sure I believe that, Matthew. Well, let's find out. Proverbs 4 says, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So what you meditate on, we have to guard our heart, because what you think about, you know, the New Age saying, you know, what you think about, you bring about. Well, that's true. It is true. Because the Bible says it, not because New Age says it. So out of your heart spring the issues of life. That's why we have to guard our heart and not think about certain things, not watch certain things, because what it will produce is bad. One of the phrases that we have, and we got it from Jerry Seville Ministries, is if you can conceive it, you can receive it. And basically that means if you can birth it in your heart, in your spirit, if you can see something in your spirit, you can have it. So your heart is your garden. So we have to guard that garden. So let's turn to Genesis 8:22. Genesis 8:22 says, okay, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. The whole world is based around seed time and harvest. If you're not a farmer, it's not always obvious. But if you want to become a pilot, for instance, what you have to do is you have to, first off, put that dream in your heart, okay? Start meditating, I'm going to fly someday, you know? And then what you have to do is you have to get, you know, you have to get training. You have to go start doing it. You have to plant the seed, the dream, and you have to go water it. And that requires work, that requires doing. It's possible, okay? You know, if you want to learn piano, if you say, I want to be a concert pianist, what does it require? It requires a lot of hard work and practice. But you first have to put that seed in your heart. See, I've heard people say, I could never learn a foreign language. Well, you know what? Daniel is proof that that's a lie. I'm a proof that's a lie. Christine is a proof that's a lie. You just have to first believe it's possible. Katie's a proof that's a lie. You have to first believe it's possible. That's where it starts. That's the seed in your heart. And then it requires lots of hard work and diligence. But the vision, it starts with planting it in your heart. So if you can conceive it, you can receive it. In Matthew 12, 33, let's see, where is that? Let's go real quick. Matthew 12, let's go to that book. Matthew 12, let's see here, where is it? Okay, so 33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Jesus is talking. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. So that's a whole other teaching about words. But a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So we bring forth stuff out of our heart. So your life is going to come out of your heart. That's pretty awesome, actually. When you start thinking about that, it's like, you know what? You are responsible for your own success. You are responsible. Whoa, that's tough there, huh? But it's true. So let's go to Psalm 139. Okay, so let me encourage you with this verse. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So God saw us before we were born. And he fashioned us, and I love it, it says, and in your book they all were written, every day, the days fashioned for me, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So God has a plan. He has a plan for us to live. He has a vision for us to receive, but the thing is we have to come into agreement with his plan. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, you know, today I put before you life and death, choose life that you may live. So we have to choose God's blueprint. That's how I say it. God has, he has a book. He has a book, a physical book in heaven of, you know, Sarah's life. You know, he's got a book, okay? And he's got all the plans and visions for you that you can walk into. But you have to choose to step into that plan. That's right. And that goes for everybody in the room, you know. You have to, like Matthew, me, I have to choose to step into his vision and to live it out. So you have to choose life. You have to choose his plan for you. So if you don't know what that plan is, you have to ask. Matthew 7:7 says, let's go there real quick, Matthew 7:7. This is an encouraging verse. I've gotten prayers answered with this verse. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his sons ask for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will be given a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. So he said, ask. So let's just ask right now. So just repeat after me. Father God, I ask you to show me what my vision is. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So that's the first step. He'll give you a dream vision. He'll put it in your heart. I'm starting to experience this in my own life. It'll start to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just progresses. It's a time thing. But it has to be planted first, and you have to want the will of the Lord. So sometimes I think, you know, as Christians, we want that vision. You know, we're like, God, give me a vision. And we're expecting this, you know, the heavens open, and you're like John on Patmos, and you see, you know, horses and fire and explosions and angels and all this stuff. But if you think back, you're like, whoa, well, the vision was a seed. The Lord started putting a seed in your heart, and you're disappointed with the seed because you wanted this open vision. You know, you're just like, Lord, show me this open vision. But the Lord gives you a seed in your heart that has to grow. And a seed, you know, we're not supposed to despise the days of small beginnings, because a seed will turn into a tree, which will turn into an orchard, which will turn into a forest. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's what we're seeing with Pastor Daniel, you know. You start with one person, and it's, you know, start multiplying discipleship, and it just grows into forests, you know. Praise the Lord. So don't despise a seed, a dream seed. So the second point is identified. You have to identify your vision. In Habakkuk 2:2, it says your vision has to be written down and made plain. Okay? So I want to read, let's read from 1 Corinthians real quick. This is a verse that I just, during the Olympics, I was like, man, I just want to think about this. The Lord spoke it to me before the Olympics, so I was like, I just want to meditate on this a bit. So I kind of camped on this. 1 Corinthians 9:24, yeah. Okay, and this is really good. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run this, run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So he says, run in such a way that you obtain it. And that's really what put it in my heart, is stop running to lose. Like, how many of us are living life to lose? Like, our objective is to lose. We're trying to lose because we don't, you know, life beats you down. You get disappointed, but let's put it in the context of the Olympics, okay? The person who's running to get gold is going to train differently than someone who is just running to be in the race. You know, and it's admirable to be in a, you know, the Boston Marathon or, you know, a marathon in the Olympics or whatever, and just to be competing. That's awesome. But the person who runs to come in first place has to train completely different than everyone else because their objective is to win. Second doesn't cut it. You're running to win. So he said, run in such a way that you obtain the prize. You have to run to win first place. So you start thinking about that. If I'm going to win, if our church is going to have 400 people by 2019, what is it going to take each and every one of us to put that and bring it to pass? Because that's gold. That's gold 2019. So we think, that starts changing our thinking, doesn't it? What does it require? You know, how many times a month are we going to have to go evangelize people and bring them in? What are we going to have to be willing to do? I've been sharing this with mom, and it's challenging. What worked before won't work now. It just won't, because you're running for a different goal, a different prize. You know, the vision's the same, souls from every nation, but the Lord's giving us specifics. And I mean, that's challenging, because all of a sudden you're like, man, I got to get results. I love what Riley said. He's like, I don't want to do this if I'm not going to get results. I want to succeed. I want to succeed. So let's have a little bit of fun here. So you've got to define your destination, okay? I said that. You got to know what victory looks like. But you got to know what events you're competing in. As I just said, we're starting to know. The Lord's starting to show us. If you're competing for a 23-mile marathon, okay, that's your goal. That's gold, okay? So then let me ask you this question. while you're out there in your tights practicing your long program on the ice with triple Lutz's twizzles and swizzles and backflips. Why are you doing that? Okay? I think lots of people, because they don't have a vision, they're just running around, like running around crazy, like doing something they shouldn't be doing. Get off the ice and start running. Right? Because you're not in it for the long program. So we got to know what we're competing for. Okay, and if we don't know, James 1:5 says, ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you. Okay, we got to race for the last few points. The third point is the vision has to be supernatural. Okay, as believers, we're not interested in soulish visions because Isaiah says that the word of God will not return void. Your word will return void. I mean, you can work yourself up, you can work really hard, and you can be successful. But the word will not return void, and that means it will not come back empty. It will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. Acts 5:39, you know, they said, if it's of God, it will last. You know, John 12:24 says, a seed must first die. It has to die. So if your vision has died, the proof that it's supernatural is it won't stay dead. It will be multiplied. It will come back to life. Jesus said, Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So we want the supernatural vision because that's what will last. And our vision has to be tested. And if it dies and doesn't come back, man, you know, it's not of God. Okay, fourthly, impossible. A vision has to be impossible. All things are possible to him who believes. How does God operate? Let's look at Romans 4:17 real quick. And it just seems to me this is how God works. He does impossible things. Okay? So let's read Romans 4:17. This is how God operates. So it says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed. And that's talking about Abraham. So Abraham could not have children. He was like 100 or something, really old. He could not have children, but he believed because God said, you will be called the father of many nations. So we have to call things that are not as though they are. So how does God operate? He operates in the realm of the unseen and the impossible. And I was just thinking about this last night. It sounds kind of weird, the unseen and the impossible. We're just like, sometimes we can't really connect with that. But think about this. The unseen could be, you know, school. You know, we all go to school. Most of us graduate. So some people don't. But we see that. It's unseen. We're like, I will get a diploma. What about a driver's license? You know, I don't know are there any teens in the room right now? Are they all gone? Jordan. Yeah, so you're like, I'm going to get a driver's license. That's unseen. You don't see it. But you're going to do it. And it takes work. Right? Or college or vacation planning or marriage, you know. Or the reach event, for instance. You know, when we started, we're like, man, this is impossible. This is hard. This is hard for us. But we stepped into it and we believed. And the Lord brought it to us. Okay? God called Gideon, mighty man of valor. He called Abraham, father of many nations. So our God is the God of the impossible. If your vision is not impossible, then it doesn't require the supernatural power of the living God. That's why we need a God, to do what we cannot do, to do the impossible. So let's keep on declaring victory. Let's keep on declaring our healing, our prosperity, our deliverance. God is the God of the impossible. He specializes in the impossible. So only believe. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him who believes. Okay. Fifthly, is opportunities. A vision is dependent on what you do with opportunities. What you do with opportunities. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:6. It talks about redeeming the time. And in the NLT, it says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. So we have to make the most of our opportunities. And we have to refuse to be lazy as well. We must be hard workers. Proverbs 12:24, it says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Man, that's a thought. If you're working a job you absolutely hate and you're forced to do, maybe it's because you're not diligent. That's a challenging thought. I've been there. Praise the Lord. And the Lord works in our jobs. And sometimes, you know, for instance, Joseph was a slave, and it wasn't his own fault. So you know what? You might just have a cruddy job, and maybe that's what God is working in your heart. So if you're faithful to it, God will promote you. So there's both sides, okay? So if you're faithful and you're diligent, you will rule. Praise the Lord. So what is diligent? There's a few words. It's constant effort. It's attentive. It's persevering. It's even painstaking. It's hard work. Diligence is hard work. But you're going to rule if you're diligent. All right. It seems to me that the world is hungrier for success than the church. I think it's true. I was listening to a few brothers talk about that. The world is hungrier for innovation, invention, success in the creative arts. The world is hungrier for breakthrough than Christians are. And it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. So we forget that it's up to us to administrate the kingdom here. I think sometimes we're so concerned about every little thing that has to be God's will. And yes, we want God's will, but it's the struggle with a Christian. And I think maybe if we know what our weakness is, we can deal with it. We're so focused on, is this God's will? And every little tiny thing that we're frozen. We're like, I can't do anything because I don't know if it's God's will for me to talk to this person that I kind of feel like I should talk to. Like, just talk to them. You know, be nice. So I think some, and I've experienced, I'm talking from experience. Sometimes we want God's will so bad. We do, that we become of no earthly use because we're just completely scared because we're going to fail. Well, Jesus said, let me go back to Genesis. He said, have authority and have dominion, right? We have so much more authority than we think we do to administrate the kingdom of God here and to do what we think is right. You know, the word says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. Hey, if you're righteous and you're renewing your mind, you're right. Okay? So let's cry out for discernment and understanding. Let's be hungry. So it's time to play for keep, to do things for real. Eternity, I like what Dave Duell says. Eternity is only forever. Right? Okay. Okay, so sixthly, is your vision non-negotiable? Once you know your vision, is God given? Is it non-negotiable? If it is, it will come to pass. So be steadfast without wavering and hold fast. I love what Mom said. She brought that back. Be loyal to your vision. You know, we talk about covenant. That's what marriage is. It's covenant. You're being loyal to your spouse. But how many of us are not loyal to our vision? I see people jump from job to job to job to job without that release of the Holy Spirit. Like, if you stay faithful to a job, to an assignment, if you stay faithful to a church, you're going to see fruit. How many people, like, jump from church to church to church? And they're not going to be planted, and the Lord's not going to let them change anything because they're not planted in the house of the Lord. So, Matthew 25:23, we want to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. He said, faithful servant. So you have to be faithful. And that includes your vision and your dreams. And Ephesians 6 says, you know, having done all. How many of us can say, having done all? I mean, that's you have to do all to do all, you know, having done all to stand. That's challenging because there's many times I can't say that I've done all, you know. All right. So if you're serious, your faith will work. How come it seems to me that when you're serious about your prayer, God's going to answer you? Yeah. And I don't like that. But you get to the emotional bottom. Where you're just like, I have to have an answer. God's going to answer you because you're serious about your prayer. Before you weren't. Yeah. Lord, make us desperate before we're desperate. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12:1-3 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily snares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. A while ago, Dad said, old orders are good orders. So if you're questioning your vision, if you're questioning what God's put in your heart, old orders are good orders. You know, what the word says in James, it says a double-minded man will not receive anything from the Lord. So if you're always back and forth, 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 you're not going to receive anything. You're not going to receive anything from the Lord, and you're not going to receive anything from life either. Because if I'm an employer and you don't show up to work, you're gone. You know, that's just the way it works. You got to be faithful. You got to be in and out, day and night, you know, every day. And you know what? I'll just say that the people who are planted in the house of the Lord who come every Sunday, they're the ones who are going to be successful and prosperous. They're the ones that we're going to put into leadership. Because the faithful man will abound in blessing and plenty. Praise the Lord. So let's lay aside all the sin that besets us and let's run the race with endurance. So just to recap here. So vision is spelled. So the first one is vision. So V is for vision. I is for identified. You got to identify your vision. You got to know what it looks like. Thirdly, it's got to be supernatural. If it's not of God, it's not going to last. Fourthly, it has to be impossible. So keep believing for the impossible. Fifthly, we got to take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of us. And sixthly, it has to be non-negotiable. It has to come to that place in your heart. Like Pastor Daniel, he said, you know what? If I have to be, you know, broke, you know, tired, no money, the only place I have to be is on the ground. And if I don't even have any food, I'm going to serve Jesus. That's non-negotiable. And that's when we're going to get results, is when that vision comes so strong and so concrete in our hearts that nothing will take us off of it. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Well, Father, we just receive this word, Lord. We ask that you would put this vision in us, Lord. It'd be non-negotiable, Lord, that it would be supernatural, that it would be impossible, because with God, all things are possible. And Lord, we thank you and we exalt you for that. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah, that was good.
That's just really good. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, it's good.
That was good.
You could tell it was good, couldn't you?
Yep.
Yeah. You can tell when the anointing's working. You can tell. It was there. I hope you guys, I receive what Matthew said, Lord.
I receive it.
I receive it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
I expect it to change my life. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, son.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You know, it's really it tickles a dad to be able to hear his son preach and just, man, I'm just taking notes as fast as I can. And just, it's good stuff. Going to chew on that for a while. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? Our greater days are now. And that's what the word of the Lord was, is this is going to be the year of the greater, and our greater days are now.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.